The industry is the one trying to sell you the things, and they're the ones also telling you what's wrong with you. So if you're continuously listening to the industry, you're continuously being put down, and then you always buy more. Everyone needs to know this. We've all been duped. Like, yeah. We've all been duped that we need to buy more to be more, buy more to be more. And it's not true. You need to buy less to be more. And that's actually what the Know By Year also helps you do, is find your own personal style. So you're radiating from the inside out instead of trying to copy what's out here. Fashion can be one of the best tools, most effective tools for positive mental health if taught and used correctly, but it can be one of the most destructive if taught and used poorly. And we've mostly only been taught poorly. If you can get to a point where you can look at your closet as your best friend, if we can walk into our closet and say thank you for being here, and then we slow down the buying, and then you become more confident in your style and your abilities because you can see your closet in a different way with more clarity, you then step out as a different woman.
Welcome to the Fully Express Podcast.
We're your hosts, Karenna and Samantha.
This show is your permission slip to stop holding back. Here, we talk about what it really means to live unapologetically you in your relationships, your business, and your everyday life.
We believe the most magnetic version of you is rooted in self-expression, honesty, vulnerability, and showing up fully as you are. When you own that, you naturally attract the people, the opportunities, and the life that is meant for you.
Hey guys, we're so excited for today's guest. Her name is Casey Lum, and she has been in the fashion industry for over 20 years and is the founder of Wear Joy Project. The coolest thing about Casey is that she has been doing and facilitating no buys, meaning you don't buy any clothes for an entire year. She does do 30-day increments, but she went 2 years without buying any clothes, which was a journey that transformed her mindset and inspired her to create the Wear Joy Method, which is a fresh approach to fashion wellness that helps you break free from the trends, overcome fashion funks, and feel amazing in the clothes that you already own.
In this episode, what was so beautiful was that you're really going to find your most authentic self and how to really remove all the programmings that come from fashion. And she really invites you to finding so much confidence within your body, within your closet, and how to become best friends with your clothes that you have today.
Both Corinne and I took so much out of this episode, including the desire to want to do a no-buy, at least a no-buy month. And we think you will get just as much out of it as well. Enjoy.
Enjoy.
Hello.
Hi. She's starting it. I love it. Hi, Casey. It's so good that you're here today.
Thank you. It's so nice to be here.
You've definitely inspired both of us in so many ways. Gosh. And I just can't wait to chat all things clothing and
sustainability
and fashion and using what you've got.
Mindfulness.
But also like the internal process to really feeling confident in what you've got.
Yeah.
Which is so important to us.
Yeah.
So I definitely started as an impulse buyer for sure. Like in my 20s, especially, such an emotional buyer. I would buy things a size too small because I wanted to fit into them.
Yes.
Or I'd like buy something in the moment. I mean, Instagram is a danger because you're just like, purchase.
I couldn't imagine being in my 20s and having Instagram quickness of buying things because I already bought quick back then.
Yeah.
Like all the time.
So give us some insight into how you started this and what inspired you. And
so I used to be a shopaholic. And
you're here.
I mean, all growing up, fashion was just my life. Like it was everything. I've been in the fashion industry for over 20 years now. And I was a designer, a stylist, everything. I had a store on Melrose for a while. Then it was when I closed my store. In 2017, I kind of didn't know what I was going to do. I was like, what am I going to do now? My store was kind of my last hurrah. I was like, if I close my store, I think I'm going to move on from fashion, which was like a huge kind of deal for me. And then I was like, well, I have this Instagram from my store. What am I going to do with it? And I go, I don't know. Let's just do a weird thing and not buy clothes for a year and see where it goes and see what kind of weird content I could make. And that was really the premise of why I started doing a no-buy year, was simply because I was like, let's make weird content. And at the end of the year, at the end of the year, I decided to do a second year because I was like, I feel like it didn't get weird enough. Let's do 2 years and see where it goes. And we can go into that more because that year I got married and I didn't buy anything around like my wedding. I made my wedding dress. I have a whole rules about that. But so the thing was, at the end of the 2 years, is that the question I got the most was, Casey, you're going to go on a shopping spree? What are you going to buy? What's the next thing like? And everyone wanted to know. And that's the question that I thought that I would have too. And actually, I was like, I don't really want to buy anything. And it shocked me. I said, wait. And I couldn't understand why I didn't have this need for a shopping spree, why I didn't need to like go out and buy a ton of stuff. And then I started to go like to wheel back and go, why? Why is this happening? Why don't I want to buy things? And I was like, I think it's because I got to know every little piece in my closet and they've become my friends. Mm. And I understand how each one of them works and how it's this big ecosystem of what's in my closet. And I think it was hugely because I decided, not totally consciously, but in the grand scheme of things, that I took myself out of this fashion hamster wheel that everyone's on. Mm. I took away the pressures of buying things because it wasn't an option for me. And I didn't realize how much, after those 2 years, I had the best mental health I've ever had in my life. I've had the most confidence. I had like not the need to like feel that like, oh my gosh, I need to buy this next thing. And it was bewildering to me. Like to go from shopaholic to basically, I mean, I had a store, I think, because I was shopaholic. Like I was like, I could buy things for me, I could buy things for everyone. Yeah. And, you know, and then so to have this now need or not need to buy was incredible to me. So I was like, everyone needs to know this. We've all been duped. Like we've all been duped that we need to buy more to be more, buy more to be more. And it's not true. You need to buy less to be more. Mm. And then I was like, okay. So that was in 2017, 2019. And ever since then, I've been on this mission to try to spread what I call fashion wellness into people's lives. Mm. And so that's where we're at now. Now I talk about the no-buy to just everyone.
Gosh. I feel so inspired already.
I know.
Oh, yeah.
After you came and talked at Like-Minded OC, I also watched a documentary on Netflix. Oh. The Amazon
one.
The one that talked about Amazon and clothing and fast fashion. And
yes.
That coupled with you was so inspiring that I did actually a no-buy for the first month of January.
So cool.
And I'm still way more conscious, but I think, you know, in that documentary, they said, like, we could never make another single item of clothing again and all be clothed for the rest of, eternity.
Gosh. It's right?
And I think about when you go to Nordstrom or when you go to Revolve or you go to any of these shops online, you're just scrolling pages and pages and pages and pages and pages of clothes.
Yes. And there is so much. And the way the production works right now, just knowing the industry, is because things can be produced so cheap now, they just do it without, like back in the day, you had to have your drawings and your order sheet and you would have to present it to buyers and then people would order. And then you would produce that much. And now it's opposite. And not all brands, but majority of the brands we all buy.
Well, like, it's all plastic.
It's so
polyester,
easy to make.
Rayon.
It's not made very well. The fabrics are not great. And so instead, they make masses and then sell what they can and then either trash the rest to other countries' beaches, which I'm sure you saw, or try to sell them in different areas. But they just don't care as much because they've switched production.
Mm.
And so it's just, crazy. Yeah, it's fascinating. But yeah, I always say now that I teach this is that fashion can be one of the best tools, most effective tools for positive mental health if taught and used correctly, but it can be one of the most destructive if taught and used poorly, and we've mostly only been taught poorly. And so I'm just watching everyone like, oh my gosh.
Can you tell us what that means? So what does it mean?
Yeah.
How is it impacting our mental health?
Okay.
The more that we buy, because we feel like we buy more, we're more.
Yeah. So a lot of the times I hear people talk about closet overwhelm. Like you go into your closet and you're just like, there's just so much in here, but I just don't know what to wear. I don't know why. How come I have nothing to wear? And it's because it's the way the industry has taught you. Ever since we were young, we were told buy this next thing, it'll make you this. Buy this next trend, it'll make you, you know, popular, skinnier, whatever, the next best thing, right? Mm-hmm. And so the industry is the one trying to sell you the things, and they're the ones also telling you what's wrong with you the whole mm-hmm. time. So if you're continuously listening to the industry, you're continuously being put down in slightly little bit of ways through mm-hmm. marketing, and then you always buy more, right? So that's why then you then, the cycle goes, you buy the thing because you think it's going to make you feel good, buy all the things, right?
Yeah.
And that's in anything, beauty, it's in, but we'll mm-hmm. talk about clothes for today. And so then we put all this stuff in our closets and we're just like jamming all this stuff in our closets. And then before we can even wear any of that, mm-hmm. we're like, oh my God, they're telling me it's out. They're telling me I need this next thing. Instagram's pushing me on this next thing. Mm-hmm. So then I'm buying more. And it's actually creating more insecurity by keeping in this cycle and having so much. So like I always talk about that your closet, if we can look at it, is like a pantry full of ingredients or a refrigerator full of ingredients, right? And can you imagine that if your fridge was full mm-hmm. and you're like, I have broccoli in here, but I just need more broccoli. Yeah. I'm going to go out and buy more. And you're like trying to stuff it in your closet, right? Or into the fridge. And then your fridge becomes so full. You're like, I feel so overwhelmed to try to cook right now because mm-hmm. there's too much in here. Now the other broccoli is going bad, but I didn't even use it. So let's just throw it out. When all these beautiful things, if we just kind of like slowed down, like imagine if you're refrigerator's full, you slow down. Mm-hmm. You don't go to the grocery store. You go, mm-hmm. okay, let me use what's in here mm-hmm. before I decide what else I need. And that's the way we need to look at our closet. Instead of like pushing more stuff in there, mm-hmm. it just becomes more overwhelming. You're like, now I'm not a good cook because I can't cook out of all this. And you're like, yes, you're a fine cook. You're great.
Yeah.
But we just need to slow down and like mm-hmm. look at what we have. Mm-hmm. And so that's kind of how I look at how mental health has played a role in where I am now and how it can be more positive if we can just lessen the amount of things, stop listening to the industry because they're the one just pushing more stuff at you and relearn what's in our closet, become friends. I say that they, if you can get to a point where you can look at your closet as your best friends, as your girl gang, you'll have a totally different outlook. Mm-hmm. If we can walk into our closet and say, thank you for being here. Thank you to all of our pieces. Instead of looking at it as this disposable place we normally do, we're like, oh, we walk in with this like, oh, like I have nothing to wear. And you start your day out with these like rituals of angst. And, you know, if we could switch that and walk in and be like, thank you, clothes, for being here. Thank you for providing what I need, clothing me, you know, all this stuff. And then we slow down the buying. So, and then we get to know what's in there. And then you become more confident in your style and your abilities because you can see your closet in a different way with more clarity. Mm. You then step out as a different woman out the door every day because you're not just like, you know?
Totally. Yeah.
Doesn't that make sense?
Yeah.
It goes, it's a long journey.
I want to take it back to your first year of No Buy.
Yeah. I was just like, gonna ask the same thing.
Like, what did you run into? Like you said, it didn't get weird enough, but like, I'm so curious, like, what did you run into your first year of No Buy?
Yeah. And how did you handle when you, I mean, I'm sure there were moments where you're like, ooh, I want that. I need that.
Yeah. Well, so one thing I want to be clear is that most people think they like totally disregard me. They're like, Casey, you had a store. You probably just have the most gigantic closet. So no buy was easy for you. And I go, okay, no, but yes, but no. I've never had a huge closet. I've had an okay size. Mm-hmm. I won't say I won't have nothing, but I've never had that like gigantic closet. You would imagine that like, oh, Casey just has something for everything. So I want to say that. So I even took pictures on one of my no buys of like my spaces. And it's like really not that much.
Yeah.
So what I ran into was I just had, if I wanted something, I don't know. I think I was talking to someone else about this that is on a no buy right now, that decided to do it because of me. But hello. But it's so like, I get so like happy when people decide to do it. And, cause I just feel like I know the journey they're about to like discover. And, so I don't know. I think because there were such hard rules of like, I am just not going to buy. Every time that I felt like buying, I just decided to go like shop my own closet. Like you go back into it. And so in my first no buy, I created a lot of rules for myself. So I said, okay, let's see. Let's start with something least worn in my closet. So instead of going out and buying something, if I felt like it, actually, I'll rewind because I do have advice about what I did when I wanted to buy. But one thing I did was go, okay, let's not buy this thing. Let's go back into my closet and start with an item least worn. Because most of the time we start with the things that we wear the most and then we just – that's what we do.
Yeah.
But I'm like, what if we go opposite and start with the item least worn? So that's what I even do now. If I start getting bored in my closet – I'm on a no-buy right now. I'm on my fifth no-buy.
Wow.
Number five, I do it every other year as a self-love ritual. And so even now when I'm on my no-buy, when I'm like tempted to buy, you always are, I go, okay, let's just go in, find the item least worn and start with that. And it's you start to wear all the different things that you haven't worn in your closet. So that's one thing. Another thing is that I will put it, like if it's on Amazon or even in a store, I will take a picture of it or I will put it on a wish list. And then I will let it sit for a while. I'll even do this when I'm not on a no-buy, is that I will put it on a wish list, let it sit for a week, and see if I still want it. Because something about that, like, instant buy.
It's a dopamine hit.
It's a dopamine hit. And then you sometimes regret it. And a lot of times you can return it, which is fine. But that's a whole nother mental cycle that you get in of, like, I'm going to buy and return. And that's a whole nother topic. But that's what I do. So even on my no buys, I will take a picture of the item, put it on a wish list, wait till the end of the no buy, and I'll scroll. And a lot of times I'll scroll through that wish list and be like,
I don't want it.
I don't really want it. I already have something like it. I don't know. You know, do I really
literally
need it?
I've been doing that with all the wedding stuff.
Yeah.
I've been just taking screenshots of everything and being like, that was a nice night. Now it's not.
Right.
And I just keep getting smaller and smaller and smaller, but I don't buy things right away.
Yeah.
I leave the window up. So like I'll find something.
Yeah.
Unless like this top, for example, I don't own anything like this in my closet. Totally. I don't have a structured shirt. So I knew immediately like, oh, I will wear that. I don't have anything like this. But for the most part, I leave a window up. And then I could go back probably months where windows are still up. And I'm just like, oh, I guess I didn't really want that because it's still there and I haven't.
Yeah.
So I think there's ways. For me, I still get I find myself still getting the dopamine hit in the scroll, in the shopping part, but without the buy.
I agree. I feel like there's like something to that, to like screenshot it, to save it. It's almost like you're getting that.
Yeah.
Because I'll do that. I'll save things. And then you do get that dopamine hit. Like,
makes you feel a little bit better. Like, I kind of found something.
And you do feel, don't you feel better when you go back and then you're like, oh, I didn't buy this. And I'm glad I didn't. I didn't even want it.
Yourself.
Yeah. It's like, oh, I didn't even actually want this.
Totally. Yeah. I think that's a great way to do it. Even when I'm not on my no buy, I do like intentional shopping, right? Like, hold off for a week, and then I ask myself, I have a whole like thought process of like, okay, first one is hold off for a week. If you go back to it and you like it, then say, can I make three outfits out of it still?
I love that.
And if I can't think of three outfits, either wait until I get my brain going and doing it, or you might forget about it after.
It's no longer present, no longer a thing.
Yeah. And then, so it's just intentional buying, you know.
What are some of the, I'm going to say, like, limiting beliefs or, like, internal thoughts that someone goes through when they're being challenged to not buy?
Oh. I mean, instantly, it's just like, oh, I could never do that. Like, you know, people think that they could not survive without
buying clothes.
And that
which is, like, let's just sit with that. Like, that's huge. Like, people think that they cannot survive without buying clothes.
Right.
Like when you say that out loud, you're like, really?
It's wild.
Like you're treating it like you drink water and you need to eat food. And that the way that I heard you, it's like, I need that enough to drink water every day.
Like even a 30 day, like I get a no buy sounds very, a no buy year sounds very hard. But I walk people through a 30 day no buy and I'll have people be like, I don't know if I could do that. And I'm 30 days, you guys, 30 days.
That's it.
That's it. And so that
people fast for 30 days.
And so that's the most people think they can't resist. They wouldn't be able to do it. They think that they would be out of style, which I have. That's actually a huge thing.
I was just going to say that's such a huge I even feel myself sometimes like the trend for this year, or trend for this year. And I've really gotten myself to a place where I try to just buy, we were talking about this before we hit record, but I try to buy for like longevity. And is this something I will wear in 10 years from now? Is this something that will last for like 5 to 10 years? And when you shift that mindset alone, you don't get, that is such a hamster wheel of like, this is what's in season and this is what's in season. And, you know, we're all wearing white for Corinna's wedding, and that's been an interesting. It's really exciting. But interesting experience to like, because I'm being subjected to like the wedding industry and all the white dresses and how much is made of polyester or synthetics even like these high-end brands, like designer brands, are charging $700,
right,
$1,300 for a polyester dress.
Oh.
And you just feel how easy it is to get sucked in. So one of my goals was like, I want to buy something I'll wear in 5 years from now.
Yes.
But yeah, I think that it is like breathing. Like shopping for women is like breathing.
It is. And people think
so bad.
Yeah. Right? When we really talk about it, it's, you're like, bad. What?
And I'm like, oh, I'm not saying that I haven't done that, but I've definitely been a part of that. Like, I think it's so hard. I feel like it's a way that women relate to one another. Like, how often do you walk in a room and the first thing that they say is like, oh, I love your top.
Right.
Yeah.
You know, like it's something that we use in our day to day, and especially and networking events, and like the more you meet other women, and if you get into this place of like wanting to grow as a business owner, then you're like, what's the next cute outfit that you're gonna wear? Right. Like, it's something that we relate to.
Yeah. And I mean, if whoever needs to hear this out in the world, is that in my no buys and things I've had forever, I'll still wear them, and people will say, like, oh, cute top. So it doesn't have to be new, right? Mm-hmm. It can be.
Yeah, they don't know.
But then there's this internal fear. I'm like listening to all the girls and my friends. Well, I don't want to rewear that top again. They already saw it.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. How many times have you said that? Like, I've already worn that before. I can't wear that again. What do you mean?
I just had this conversation with somebody because I get in really cool fashion conversations with people when they know I do a no buy. And we were talking about how she has all these like cute skirts and really like bright things. And she goes, my friends say, that's cute and all, but it's not like you can't like wear that again. You can't wear that again when it's so bright. And then I looked at her and I go, would it be so bad that if your clothes became your brand? Mm. Like that if I was wearing a really bright striped dress with her that day, and I go, I wear this all the time. Like, how do you feel? You see me, if you saw me twice or three times in this dress, would you be like, oh my God, Casey's wearing that dress again? Or would you be like, oh, she's wearing that dress again? You know, like it becomes you, it becomes your brand, it becomes your expression. And like, well, who cares that we're wearing things over and over? It's the made up rules by the industry.
That's 100% it. And I think it's funny because it's all cyclical. So like we're seeing the 90s and the 2000s and all these things coming back, and the Isabel Marant wedge sneakers, which I never owned a pair of those, but I'm just like, you could have saved your pair from 10 years ago, 20 years ago, and wear them now. I think you see, I've just been becoming more and more aware of that it is all a program.
Yeah.
Because it all just cycles anyways. And they're like, oh, now sandals are back in. I'm like, first all of all, we live in California. Like, sandals were never out. But you realize how you could be like, oh, I can't wear those now. They're not cool.
Yeah.
Even though you love them.
Yeah. And, you know, today, like, this has been a refresher for a lot of people, is the industry is really trying to hold on to the idea of trends. Mm-hmm. Trends are not a thing anymore.
Yeah.
Trends come. Ideas come. I like to call them ideas because I do like to follow new ideas, because when new trends, ideas come up, I like to get new inspiration to how to look at my wardrobe differently.
Maybe or like color add a combos few pieces, or something. Yeah.
And I look at it as inspiration, but I don't look at it as rules. But trends are not a thing anymore, because back in the day, trends used to travel the world. Information did not travel that fast. So you would have it start in Paris or wherever, and it would move along into the United States, and then it would start over. And now, because production is so fast and information travels so fast, every style of clothing is being produced at the same time right now. They are running out of styles to produce, because they're like, well, last week we did the wide leg jean and we did it like this. Like, we need it. Like, so you'll see how everything is being produced now. So they're trying to hold on to trends. It's not a thing anymore. So I tell people, find your lane, find whatever you're comfortable in, mm-hmm. and just kind of add things here and there into it, but stay with what you want to be in. And that's actually what the Know By Year also helps you do, is find your own personal style. So you're radiating from the inside out instead of trying to copy what's out here and not be you and not be fully expressed, right? And you want to be find when you stop buying, you start to slow down. You start to go, what feels good for me? What is actually me? What speaks to who I am inside? And you wear more of that.
I love that so much because it feels like an identity shedding, like in a way of like, okay, well, there's all these clothes that I've bought just because I wanted to get a quick hit.
Yeah.
But then during the no buy, you can just like start to funnel into like who you really are and how you really want to present yourself in the world through that no buy year.
Absolutely. And you get more in touch with who you are. You are challenged in the no buy year to get creative because you aren't buying clothes and you want to still feel fresh. And that's when your true style emerges.
But I also feel like we have so many clothes. Like even someone – I've curated my wardrobe pretty tightly and I really try to buy like good materials. And I still have so many clothes that I could go that I hardly ever wear.
Right.
You know? So I feel like that if we actually challenged ourselves, we probably would – be fine to like wear something different quite often.
So fine. And you find new, you like right now you might wear this jacket or this shirt and maybe one or two outfits and you just repeat and repeat and repeat because that's what we're used to doing. And then to us, it feels tiring. So then we go buy something new, right? Mm-hmm. But in a no buy, you go, wait a minute, I can wear this shirt with 15 different outfits. Now, these pants in 10 more different outfits, and you start to do the math of like you're wearing 1, 2, 3, you know, three pieces. And if you took this with another bottom with another shoe, like how many combinations are actually in our closet?
I low-key think that's trending though.
Yeah.
Like I've been seeing that so much more where people are now just putting pieces together.
Yeah.
And sure like that's the cool thing to do. Yeah, literally, even please. In like the business like space, even like this, like these weren't two pieces that were together. Yeah. But I feel like that's trending a little bit more. Like how much more fun can you get
with
your outfits versus it being so simple.
I get inspired too when I see the videos of travelers because you'll see there was like that trend going around where it's here's four pieces and like 12 different outfits and
it's how like a capsule wardrobe.
Yeah, exactly. Like a capsule. And I think I feel like that is the shift that that has to happen at some point. Yeah. Like we can't keep going and producing the way we are.
No.
But I also think that the more you love every piece in your closet, the more excited you are to walk into your closet and actually want to like have fun and play around and find different things to wear.
Yeah. I walk in now instead of like, oh, I have nothing where I go. What type of magic are we going to make today? Yeah, like what's going to happen?
That you don't feel overwhelmed.
No.
Something too I was thinking about that you said that I think is really important for people to understand is that like how you were speaking to trends, you know, right now the color of your shirt actually, that blue is trending.
Oh yeah.
But people don't realize that you could – you could that these companies have such a quick turnaround that they can go produce 25 different models of something in that color and be like, oh, we predicted the trend, you know, or we're – but
– right.
And I think – it's important to understand that these people are putting out clothing so fast, that you're being manipulated into thinking that this is like the new color or the new thing. I don't think people realize how many clothes are being shipped. Like when we just throw it away or we take it to Goodwill.
Yeah.
Corinne and I have talked about this on a previous episode. Like where does it go? Like it goes on the beach. It goes –
and
goes
they don't even want – other countries don't even want
– no, they don't want it either. They're like, please stop.
Anymore. Yeah. They're like, it's cheaply made. We don't want it. Mm-hmm.
And there's nowhere to put it. It's plastic. It's all plastic.
Yeah.
And I think about, you know, the infertility epidemic, like all of these, the health epidemic, all these things that are happening. And it's like, well, we're dressing ourselves in plastic. We're eating out of plastic.
Yeah.
We're throwing our plastic in the ocean. We're swimming in it. We're showering in it. And I just think that these conversations are so powerful because it is – you're such a beautiful example of what can happen when you actually commit to yourself and realize like, oh, more isn't better.
No.
You know, and I think more people like Corinna said are waking up to this and realizing I'm not happy. Like I this, and also, I mean, things are becoming, like I said, it's like $500 for a polyester dress.
Right.
So I think, do you want to pay that knowing that probably cost $20 to produce? Right. So.
And I'm on a, like a huge proponent of like, go back out to the malls, feel, have energy, have an energy exchange with the clothes that you're going to buy. Because if you know, we're all feeling a little bit like trash, right? Because our clothes are made of plastic. Mm-hmm. They show up in a plastic bag, a garbage bag on our doorstep. We take it out. And if you ever noticed in retail or worked retail, everything usually is steamed. Mm-hmm. They take it out. They take it out of the packages that look like that. But then right. they take the time to steam it to put it out, right? And you see this really beautiful garment. And then how many times have you like got something in the mail and it's like so wrinkled and you're just like.
Then you really don't want it.
Yeah. It's just like plastic fabric. Getting it delivered to you, not looking great. Getting it delivered to you on your doorstep in basically a garbage bag. Like, how are we supposed to feel good?
Yeah, about be energetic that? Of that.
Yeah. So I'm like huge on, I know that we can find it cheaper, you know, like online. But like go out mm-hmm. to a store and talk to the sales associate. You know, make mm-hmm. a human connection.
Feel it on
some
your body.
Energy. Yeah. Try it on. Feel it on your body. And then like, you know, mm-hmm. I don't know. There's just
I hear that.
Something special about that.
I wanted to ask you a question. I was like, do you have a case study of someone that you could share that you've worked with?
Yeah. Yeah.
And talk about their journey.
Yeah. I have quite a few. There's some on it right now on No Buy, and I try to keep up with them. But I just have people say like they feel like they are getting a whole new download in their brain. Mm. They feel like they're like I was just talking to one yesterday and she's just like, I don't even understand what is happening in my brain. It's like wow. I am shifting a whole new person. And mm-hmm. I said, you are. Like, think of how long we've been programmed this way. Mm-hmm. And then so she has most people that I've ever had do this just totally shift. Like they are more – they say the same exact thing that I say. Like I don't feel the need to go out and buy. Like I'll add – pieces that I need that I've thought about that and I give people the tools right mm-hmm. to like all the tools on how to look at your closet differently. I have different like formulas of how you can go in and use everything in your closet. Most people use only about 30% of their closet mm-hmm. and 70% is not mm-hmm. I would say I probably nor on the normal use 90% of my closet mm-hmm. So I give That's everyone amazing. These like tricks on how to view it different so you can find all those little things. And then I teach intentional shopping after that of like how to go about adding the things to your closet. And most people don't feel the need that I've worked with to buy because like I said, they understand the tools that
they're
they have
right
there.
Things, yeah. What they have works.
And they discover their own personal style. And then so they stop feeling the need for falling for trends because they're like, I don't need to look at that anymore. I can just add in the little things that I need and feel inspired when I need to feel inspired. So it's a whole like retraining of our minds. So yeah, so I would say the one I was talking to last night was like, this is a whole new download. This is wild. She says she feels like the universe just provides for her. She said she ripped her jeans and she was fine with one jean being ripped. But then like 2 days later, she ripped another pair of jeans. Oh, nice. And she was like, I guess I have to go buy. And as she was walking into one of her, I think it was her kids' gymnastics, she says, a lady she doesn't even know that found out I ripped my jeans goes, oh, I was on my way dropping some bags off of clothes. I think, what size are you? Gave her jeans that were a size almost exactly like that.
Oh my
and
gosh.
Then she's like, I actually have a black pair, which is the other pair that she ripped. And gave her both of those. So she like didn't have to buy. I was like, the universe has your back.
That's amazing.
That's a great story.
Yeah. And so other people just feel uplifted, life-changing. Kind of all the same message, I would say, comes from people. So I don't have like, yeah, that's kind of the case studies.
I love that so much because we so deeply believe that when you are living and vibrating as your authentic self and like really tapped into yourself and feeling good about who you are, you will be provided for by
Absolutely.
The universe. Whether it's in business opportunities, connections, clothing, apparently, like you're just taken care of.
Yeah.
So it's such a beautiful story.
Yeah. And it's like what I have found, the industry never, how we're being taught, never let us trust our own selves, that we knew exactly what we should be wearing and what we want to express. Mm-hmm. It just numbs us.
Yeah. It makes me so mad because as women, we already struggle to trust ourselves. Yes. Like there's just this like running theme. It's like one, we self-abandon a lot. And then you have these external things like fashion that are just going to add on to that. Like, okay, well, I'm going to like continue to feed your wound so you can buy from me.
And that's what it is.
And that's all it is. Let me pay you money to just make you feel more insecure. Yeah. And I will be profitable off that. And that is like, that just pissed me off a little bit. I'm like, I'm mad about that because it's frustrating. Because I was like, if anything, like, no, you guys should be teaching us how to trust ourselves. Like,
exactly.
Why aren't you flipping the narrative?
But it's the same person. Yeah, it's the same person selling you the thing to make you feel weaker. Mm-hmm. And like, you're like, wait, what? Excuse me? So
it's so interesting because there's this whole shift happening where I think so many of us, I can speak like for in America, are becoming disillusioned. Mm-hmm. Like we're learning that we've been lied to about a lot of things that we trusted people we shouldn't have. Mm-hmm. We held people to an account that we shouldn't have. And I think, I almost think that this process of watching clothing get cheaper and cheaper and cheaper, but more and more expensive is actually like forcing people to ask deeper questions and to reevaluate their relationship with clothing. And I and it's interesting because I'm watching people reevaluate on every level. Yes. And I think that this conversation is so timely because it is exactly what I think so many people need to hear of. Oh, your questioning is valid.
It's valid.
And I'm seeing more and more people on social media be like, going to stores or even online and saying $500 polyester, $500 rayon, da 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 da, and realizing that, you know, this is not like, I'm seeing vintage shopping come back in full force, which is so cool, which is how we should be anyways, or even in bags and shoes too, because like handbags, I just saw like Chanel like a price increase, and now their bag that was once $4,000 is like $12,000.
Oh my gosh.
And I mean, I don't know much about that brand, but like I just happened to see a video on it, and so a lot of people are saying that the quality isn't there, like all of these things that I think is again like this big questioning that's happening and this gigantic desire to shift the narrative, shift the industry, not participate in this program anymore.
I agree. We're not subscribing anymore.
Yeah,
we're not
unsubscribe.
Doing this. Yeah. Mm-hmm. Yeah. And the other day I said to somebody, I had a vintage something. Was it a bag or a jacket? Oh, jacket. Mm-hmm. It was a vintage jacket. And I said to them, isn't it weird how like this was from, it was a jacket from World War II.
Whoa.
It was an army jacket. Cool. And the construction is like
pristine, right?
Gosh. It's incredible. Yes. Like this thing's never falling apart.
Yeah.
And I was like, isn't it weird that our kids might not have anything that we bought today because it just falls apart? Like they're not going to be able to inherit. Like I'll have shoes that I'll have about 4 or 5 years. If you buy like a kind of inexpensive pair of shoes, right? Heels.
Yeah.
The heel will start ripping off.
It does.
And then I'll have some vintage shoes.
Yeah.
Oh my gosh. Like those things are still together. Like how long have we had those, you know?
Yeah, I bought a pair of vintage knee-high boots that were probably already 10, 15 years old, and they're solid. Like they're solid. So perfect.
Yeah. Even things from our childhood were made better.
I know.
You know, like wildly better than
like I should have kept those jackets back then.
Yeah. So it's so crazy. But yeah.
I would love to ask you a question. What on your journeys of no buy, what has been the most challenging thing that you faced?
It's wild that it's not that challenging.
Say it. Well, how come?
Because it's so uplifting. Mm-hmm. It's so empowering. I think the biggest hardship is to get other people to do it.
Mm-hmm. How come?
Because they think they can't. Mm-hmm. And I think most people, case study, once they're about 3 months in the hump, right? They go, why did I ever participate in this, you know, in the industry of how we learn? Like most people when they're over the hump feel so empowered and are like, Casey, this is crazy. And I'm like, I know, right? Like,
what do you mean when you say empowered? What do they access that they didn't have access to before?
They just feel like they're not falling for the BS anymore. Mm. They don't feel like they have to participate in buying so much. Do you know how much energy, right?
It feels like freedom.
It's freedom.
It feels like freedom. Absolutely.
It's aliveness. People said that it feels like
a weight
lifted up off of their shoulders. Amazing. And like, how much energy do we waste scrolling? Do we waste trying on? Do we waste not knowing? Does this look good? I don't know. Like, you know?
Second guessing.
Which is a great point to you saying know your style, because then when you're looking for something specific, you can look at that piece and be like, yep, that'll look great on me. Because you know exactly what looks good, the colors that look good, everything you love.
And you're working trusting from yourself. Because most things of like, tell me how to dress for my body type. Tell me how to this. Your goal in the back of your head is tell me how to be skinnier. Tell me how to dress so I look thinner. But really it should be, let's get in touch. Like, let's make fashion not just a look, but a feeling. Mm-hmm. Let's get in touch with how you want to express. If you want to wear bright, crazy colors all day long, wear bright, crazy colors all day long. If that's not your jam, if you're a more muted person, be that person, you know? And so, like, if you remember when we were young, I don't know, not all people, but if you can look at kids and see the joy someone gets from a dress-up box, right? Mm-hmm. Like, I had a dress-up box when I was young, and I was like, I could be anything I want. You put on that doctor outfit. You were that doctor. I remember my mom had, like, this fur. I don't know. I think it was just a fur piece of fabric, and I would put it on and be like, oh, I'm just, you know.
It's me.
Yes. And you feel so powerful by this dress-up box you have. And you still have that dress-up box. Mm-hmm. It's called your closet, and it's right in front of you, but life and pretend rules and pretend trends have all numbed you from seeing the magic that is right in front of you. So if you can tap into who you are, what you want to express, and that you have a dress-up box to make you feel however you want to feel, that's, I think, what people feel. They feel freedom. They feel empowered. They feel like they're not being fooled anymore. Mm-hmm. And that's what I think comes like so strongly from doing a no by year. And does it have to be a no by year? No, you can do it. I teach a lot of mindset stuff that will help you switch just your buying and your know-how. But that like break, even if it's, I do a 30-day no buy challenge with people. Even just the 30-day.
It was very powerful.
You could talk about that. Yeah. And then to do a year.
I can't imagine. Yeah, a year would be incredible. I will say doing the 30 days showed me, like even having this conversation now, I'm such a, like when I'm anxious, I like to scroll clothing. Like that's how I relax my brain, because I don't watch a lot of TV and I'm trying to limit social media. So like I'll look for clothes or I'll use like a wedding or a trip or something as an excuse to shop instead of realizing, like actually just before you came here, I said to Karina, I've realized I have plenty of clothes. Like I have plenty of clothes to take on this trip. I don't need to buy all these new things.
Yeah.
But I do think it does show you that how often you turn to scrolling or shopping. Even I would notice in the no buy when I was on Instagram and I saw an ad and I would go to that ad and then I'm like, nope, you don't even need to look at that because you're not buying. Yeah. You're not interested. It's such a habit get in.
I mean, I was just going to say, it reminds me of retail therapy. I mean, that is something that we have been told to do. Like, oh, I just need some retail therapy. Right. Like, I just need, that's how I'm going to cope.
I used to get my steps at the mall. Yeah. Like, when I was in high school, that's what you did.
That's like how I cope with my feelings, my internal world. And I believe that we can actually learn how to be with our feelings and not use these things. So I can see the no buy also being challenging because it's showing you like, hey, you're anxious.
Yeah.
What are you anxious about? Or hey, my body feels uncomfortable. Mm-hmm. Like, what's going on? How can I make it feel safe? Not using these things to distract myself.
Yeah.
From feeling this way.
Well, and then like,
or using retail therapy to make me feel better.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
And it does therapy. For like what?
30 seconds,
an hour, an hour, 24 hours. I'm like, oh, and then the next day, did you come back again? And like, do you want to go shopping again? Which people do.
Yes. And the whole retail therapy, I get it. I was there. I've done it. Mm-hmm. And it does feel great. And I'll still, you know, fall into that. However, where do you go after that? You bought the thing. Sure, it felt great. Now you're sticking it into your closet that's already full. And now you feel like crap again.
Yeah.
And then so then you're in this cycle again. So your retail therapy is just causing you to do more retail therapy because it's putting you in an insecure loop, right?
I want to go back to one thing that you said earlier, yeah, too, that it drains your energy. Mm-hmm. So now that you have these know-by years, and you said it's like a ritual of self-love, like a self-love ritual that, yeah, you do, how have you been able to contribute your energy to the world? Like, what have you been able to, like, access,
yeah, great question,
now that you've
– That's a great question.
Like, not, yeah, spent so much time. Yeah. Now that you have all this time and energy, like, how have you been contributing that in your life?
Yeah. Motherhood. I was able – there was a point in motherhood, and, you know, if you are a brand new mom, be easy on yourself. Don't try to do the know by ear. You have to show up in sweats every day. Like, just do it, right? Yeah. But there was a point in motherhood when my youngest turned around two that I was like, I need to reclaim where I am again. And I love fashion so much. And how can I make this work with being a mom as well? And so I created some tools around that to, like, plan the night before. I plan my weeks. Mm-hmm. I do outfit planning. So I do, like, one week of outfits. You know, I sit down with my wine or coffee or whatever time of day it is. And then I plan, like, 5 to 7 outfits for the week. And then instead of rolling out of bed when your kid calls you and putting on your sweats, you roll out of bed and just put on the outfit that you had on. So that was an energy shift for me. So I'm able to be there more energetically for my kids. I also, when you're able to start your day more energetically well, then you show up, like, more confident everywhere, right? And so it's like – and then you can be – show up as that for your kids. So you hope that that, you know, gets passed down to them, that they see that in my work. You know, I'm not so worried what I look like all the time. I just am like, I'm here. I don't know. Or even at networking things, I throw on what I feel like I want to wear, and I go, look, that's just going to shine through that I'm in something I'm comfortable and happy with, instead of trying to wear something on trend and uncomfortable and not sure how I feel and walking into a room like, do I look good? I'm not sure. I don't know.
I hated those feelings.
Right?
I hate when I wear something and I'm like, I want to get out of this right now.
Yeah.
Like, maybe it looks cute for everyone else, but, like, I don't feel like me.
Yeah. Oh my gosh. Someone in our group, she showed me a picture of an outfit that she's like, I love this outfit, but one of my friends, I don't know if she was a color person, you know, that does colors, someone that had some weight in her life. And she was like, she told me never to wear it again. It swallows me. The color look makes me look sick, like, blah, 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 blah. And I go, well, do you love it? And she said, yeah, I really kind of do. And I said, don't get rid of it yet. I would challenge you to wear it again and just see how you feel in it. Mm-hmm. She wore it to our holiday party. Everyone was raving about it, and she was glowing, and I was like, how dare you ever try to get rid of this thing that makes you so happy? And so the rules out there just are, you know.
I love that you brought that up, because it's also not looking for someone else to give you the validation or the guidance. Yes. It's really trusting yourself and your inner voices or your intuition or your gut or how you feel.
Yeah.
Like, you'll find answers when you feel good.
Yes.
And that's perfect.
Yes. Oh, and to go back to your scrolling thing, this kind of goes with that, is what I do now, because I love to scroll. I love fashion. But I go, wait a minute. Do I need to love the buying of fashion, or can I love the art of fashion, right? Mm-hmm. So when I see something I want to buy or an outfit that's so cute on somebody, I will save it to my inspirational board, whether on Pinterest, Instagram collection, whatever it is. And then I go, how can I create this out of what I already have?
So good.
I love that.
And then you find your own personal style out of being inspired by fashion. Because I'm a fashionista. Most people that do a know-by-year are like, I'm just trying to save money, or I'm just going to wear a brown paper bag.
Like, no, you know, I love fashion.
Yeah.
I like to look good.
Yeah, I want to look good. I'm a fashionista, but, like, there's ways to do it. So it's that cycle of, I love scrolling.
Yeah.
I love fashion. I love outfits. And instead of, like, being jealous of somebody, now I celebrate them when I see them. And then I go, what can I make out of my closet being inspired by this? Doesn't have to be the same.
Good.
But how about the essence of this outfit, you know?
So good.
I love that, because I think I'm obsessed with fashion. I love it. And it's so interesting.
It's so cool.
Because some of the dilemma or, like, discord I've had in myself is, well, I'm also, like, deeply spiritual, and I know about the industry. So it feels like a dissonance almost.
Yeah.
And, like, I want to have beautiful luxury. I love, like, I would buy $1,000 pair of shoes if I know they're high quality and they're going to last me for 10 years.
Yep.
Like, I'd rather invest in one pair of that. Mm-hmm. Like, my knee-high boots are really high quality. I got them vintage, but I only own one pair of knee-high boots, you know? And so I think what has helped for me too is when I go to Pinterest, like I look at these beautiful outfits. Like Corinna will send me outfits sometime. I'm like, oh my God, that's so epic. But I realize, would I wear that on a regular basis? Like I have to remember that so many of these women, one, live in New York or Paris or London.
Right.
And that's their job. They get given these clothes and they put together these outfits and they take these photos. And I've come to the conclusion that I don't want to do that. That's not the career I want.
Yeah.
So I'm the same. Like I try to appreciate that and then exactly be like, okay, what is inspiring me about this outfit?
What is yes.
Like what is it that I actually like? Because I know I would wear that once and then never probably wear it again because it's probably not comfortable. It's not like something I'm going to wear
out. You would take
your
picture and then go home and change.
Yeah, literally. And so I love that suggestion. I think it's so powerful to ask yourself, like, what is the essence of this image that is inspiring me? Mm-hmm. And then allowing yourself to be moved in that direction in your own closet.
Totally. And that's – and you're looking at – that's – it's so freeing to be able to celebrate another woman in the outfit they're in instead of saying, I want that, right? Yeah. And then so – and then you take it another step further and you said, what do I like about this outfit? And it could be really minute details, right? Mm-hmm. It could not be anything to do with the outfit, but you might be like, I love the lines of that jacket. Like it's super clean and chic. And so is there a way I can look at my closet and find chic – clean lines or you know, so it's, or it could be like the color combination. It could be
the color combos for sure.
Yeah,
the color combo,
like,
is huge,
and you're like, can I take this color combo and find something? And most likely you can, because if you're attracted to it, you probably bought some clothes that are that color already. Or like you said, like we can challenge ourselves, say it's like a bright color mix that you're like, I actually don't have anything like this in my closet. Then you're intentionally buying and you go, this could add to my closet only because, and then you think, is there three ways I can wear it?
Yeah.
And then you move on from there. And so you're just putting a little, I say, like, even if the pause is not a year, if the pause is not 30 days, if we just pause.
Yeah.
And before we push the buy button and just, you know, think about it a little bit.
Yeah.
There's just intentional buying there.
Totally.
Another question I have too for you, because you said like you would buy $1,000 pair of shoes if it lasted you a decade or whatever. You know, do you help people realize like the amount they're spending on fast fashion or on the quick buy, purchase, Instagram, whatever, can actually add up to like three amazing pieces in a year?
Yeah.
Because that's how my mind thinks now is like, okay, yeah, I bought this really expensive pair of shoes, but I only own 8 pairs of shoes. You know, like I'm going to wear these till I'm resoling them or whatever. But I could also go and buy 20 pairs from Zara over the course of a year and spend that same amount.
And then they fall apart. And then,
So is that part of what you help people?
Yeah, I have, but it's not like a sole thing that I teach. But I do talk about the ratio. So there's a buy wear ratio. And so you can buy a leather jacket for $1,000, but you wear it all the time. It could be $1 per wear, you know, if you wear it all the time, or it can go down to pennies if you've had it for a lengthy amount of time.
I was going to say, a quality leather jacket can also last you a decade. Like you're talking about a jacket from World War II.
Yes,
you
know? Right?
Yeah.
And so the ratio, the cost per wear ratio is very low. But then you can buy a jacket on Amazon and you have this disposable feeling and you wear it twice. Maybe it was $30 and then you wear it twice. So it was $15 per wear. So when you can start breaking down, you don't have to make the tally and do the exact math, but you can start seeing like, is this cheaper thing worth the purchase or should I just go for the really well-made
pieces
that are going to last me a lifetime. So it's huge.
Do you sell things out of your closet?
I don't yet. I've thought about it. But I do clothing exchanges. So, or like I do clothing swaps. Yeah. So that's one of my big things too, is that I'll participate in clothing swaps. I try to limit myself on my know by years of like what that can be. But yeah, that's what I try to promote too, is that like trends, like actually this, both were from a clothing swap.
Oh, cool.
And so like trends are really obsolete. Like there's just so many clothes out there. Yeah. And what you find when you're done with one thing, I might find to be a treasure and vice versa. Mm-hmm. And it's like clothing swaps are kind of magical.
Brennan and I met at a clothing swap.
You did?
We did.
That's so fun.
Yeah, the very first time we met was at a clothing swap. It ended up being like this deep conversation.
It was a deep sisterhood.
Wow, that's so cool. But it was meant to be a clothing swap.
I feel like this is like full circle moment right now.
Yeah.
So I have one more question for you that we ask everyone. But this conversation has been so beautiful and so enlightening. Yeah. I feel like we could talk to you for hours.
Oh, yeah, literally.
I have so many business ideas for you that are just like sitting
in my head. Oh, yes. Love it.
Because I think everyone needs this.
Yes.
You know, our world is just craving to heal and feel fully expressed, feel authentic, feel real, but mainly accessing that level of aliveness that I think everyone so deeply wants. Mm-hmm. And they don't realize that the instant gratification, as much as they're getting instant gratification, is actually taking. Mm-hmm. It's not giving. And in those moments, you might get like a 30 seconds hit or like a 30 minute, like, oh my gosh, I feel so good. But then like, do you really feel alive for a long period of time? And even your energy today has been so vibrant and so alive and so potent. And that's what's attractive, is that's what's magnetic.
Thank you.
So thank you for sharing that light. And so keep sharing it, because more – I want to see little girls feel so good in their skin.
Me too. That's kind of like
– that would be elite. Amazing, I think most little girls, like when they're little – I don't know, under four, under five, like they still feel that aliveness. So and then something changes around like six and they get to school and like everyone has a new outfit and like, you know –
Especially in Orange County.
It's a thing. So
competition starts young.
Yeah, and if it starts with moms, we impact and set an example for our kids in the future. So thank you for what you're doing.
Oh,
thank you. Yeah, it's huge.
Our question that I have for you is, where in your life are you feeling called to be more fully expressed? This can be life, love, or business. But where are you feeling called to bring more of yourself?
Probably parenting. I have a 3.5 and a 5.5-year-old, and I had them later in life. You know, I'm 42 now. And so I got used to just being with myself.
Yeah.
And so it's hard to incorporate, you know, kids. And my kids are very expressive and not quiet and, you know, strong-willed, which I prayed to God for strong-willed.
They're keeping you on your toes.
Yeah. You know, and I didn't think about how it was going to be to raise strong-willed, feisty girls, but I prayed for it. So
they're both girls, two girls. Oh my gosh.
I do believe it was my calling to, like, this project became so much more meaningful after I was like, oh, I have two girls. Like, this is...
I was just going to say, what a gift, because you could have gone such a different way, like in the fashion world. And, you know, like something to just double tap what you said earlier is that we dress to be skinny. Like, that's what we're told. I mean, the fact that we model clothes on women that look like hangers.
Yeah.
Like, they have no fat, no body fat, to raise two little girls with the idea that you can express yourself with nothing or with very little is such a beautiful, like, what a gift. Wow.
And they've given it to me too. So I do want to be more fully expressed in parenting. I feel like I'm just now getting into the rhythm, I think, of the actual parenting, but to actually show up fully expressed, and it has been pretty difficult for me, but I am learning from them too. You know, when you have two girls, your immediate is like, I can buy them all these outfits and I'm going to dress them and And then you realize having some feisty girls, they're not going to tell you how you can dress them.
They want to dress themselves.
Yeah. My oldest, even since she was a baby, she would fuss so hard if I tried to change her more than like once. So I had one shot when she was a little girl. So I wouldn't dress her in anything that cute. And so now that they're 5.5 and 3.5, they can get dressed by themselves. They do not want me to have any say. And the pattern mixing is crazy. The colors are crazy. But I have to step back and be like, that's actually what I teach, right? And so, like, when I speak and stuff, I ask the audience, I say, what would you wear if no one was telling you what to wear? Like, if there was never any fashion magazine, if there never any trends, like, what would you wear? And it would be what you wanted, right? And so that's what I learn every day from these little girls, that they are wearing what they want to wear and they don't care what anyone says. And I hope that they hold on to that. But in parenting, to be fully expressed, I would love to be there a little more.
And when you say that, is it what part of parenting do you want to feel more confident in, or just more secure in, or more alive in, or expressed? Like, what part is it?
I think for me, I'm a pretty like energetic, fun-loving person. I feel like in parenting, I don't show up that way. I feel like I'm like we need to get this done. Get in the car, get your shoes on, you know, why aren't you eating? Da, 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 da. And I just want to like figure out my balance of like letting that go a little bit more and letting them shine, me shine, letting them see.
Like the happy, fun
version. Yeah. Like I'm like, are they going to grow up and think that I was just like this really strict parent and never see them. The other side, you know? And then so I have friends that are like, oh my gosh, Casey, your girls are so lucky to have you and Peter as their parents. And I go, I don't know that they think that yet. So I'd like them to like feel that, right? Yeah. At one point in time that I'd like to show them that.
I'm sure they feel that. And it seems like there's like an invitation for you just to be more present and flow with them. But it's so hard when you have so much going on. I mean,
I think that's
your mom, you're a business owner, your husband, you have things going on.
Yeah.
So
it's
easy and life keeps moving. But I hear that.
And I get, you know, good advice from other people. Just be like, just be easy on yourself. These days, the young days are just so hard.
It is.
You know? And also they're not like on a schedule. Like if they had their way, they'd just like probably flow it wherever they want, you know? So someone's got to keep them together, right? You know? So it's, I'm sure it's a delicate balance.
It is.
And I'll say like they're women, they're girls. So they're the feminine. They need the structure.
Yeah.
And you can
provide. Okay. I'm going to hold on. Okay.
It's like you can provide the structure for them because they will thrive in structure even though they want to flow. Right.
Yeah.
So you're providing that element as well.
Oh, thank you. Yeah. Mm-hmm. I'm going to hold on to that. I'm going to remember that.
All right. Yeah. Well, thank you so much.
This is so awesome.
Thank you for having me. So good to talk to you ladies.
Yeah.
We hope you loved today's episode and that it sparked something in yourself on your journey to becoming more fully expressed.
Don't forget to check the show notes for all the details and resources from today's conversation. And if you enjoyed this episode, please leave us a review.
We'd love to hear your thoughts and takeaways as it really helps us to create better content that actually serves you.
This week, we invite you to show up even more as you, more honest, more real, more expressive in your life and business. And we'll see you on the next one.